Good morning, Grace Point. Oh, that's nice. I'm going to read you some scripture to start today's worship service. It's found in Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. He protects me from danger. Whom shall I fear? When evil men come to destroy me, they will stumble and fall. Yes, though a mighty army marches against me, my heart shall know no fear. I am confident that God will save me. The one thing I want from God, the thing I seek most of all, is the privilege of meditating in His temple, living in His presence every day of my life, delighting in His incomparable perfections and glory. There I'll be when trouble comes. He will hide me. He will set me on a high rock, out of reach of all my enemies. Then I will bring Him the sacrifices and sing His praises with much joy. Let's stand together this morning and let's sing His praises with joy. you, Father, that you are the everlasting God, that you lift us up, that you defend us, that you strengthen us, Lord. And for those that have come this morning and they feel weak, I pray by your Spirit that you would build them up and you would strengthen them and you would encourage them, Lord. Thank you. We pray this in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. Welcome to Grace Point this morning. What a beautiful day. Beginning of a hopefully a beautiful fall and hopefully praying a beautiful winter. If that's possible. Miracles happen, right? So I just want to draw your attention this morning to the connection card. This in the pocket in front of you. And if it's your first time here, we just want to welcome you to write down some information. And maybe how, if you're wondering how you can get plugged in, asking for information on different ministries. If you fill that out, just put that in the tin as it comes along, or take it to the Welcome Center after the service. And there will be a little something, I believe, is jam waiting for you there. It's delicious. Trust me. I've had my share. But if you're a returning member, or you consider Grace Point home, and you have a change in information, maybe you got a new cell phone or a new address, just drop that down, or any prayer requests. We would love to hear them, as we'd love to pray for you and pray as a church family. So also put that in the tin as it goes by. We have a lot of great stuff going on here at Grace Point in the next coming week, and I just want to draw your attention to some of those things. If you look in the pamphlet that you received on the way in, there's a lot of information in there in terms of different ministries that are running. We're starting to gear up for September, which is exciting, when everything's going full tilt. But I just want to draw, serious attention to a couple of things. Baby dedication is coming up on Sunday, October 4th. If you're interested, please take a pamphlet from the Welcome Center to fill out. So if you're interested in dedicating your children, there's a pamphlet at the Welcome Center. Discovery classes 1 and 2 are going to be happening October 3rd, so Saturday morning, and sign up is also at the Welcome Center. If you're catching a trend, most of the stuff is at the Welcome Center. So if you have a question, just head right back there. It says Welcome Center. They're very friendly there. There's an HCAS fundraiser coming up on October 3rd, and that will be, they do a fantastic job in terms of raising funds and putting on a great evening for those who attend, so I highly encourage doing that. And then also a reminder that the Fall Barbecue and Show and Shine is on September 13th, and that's coming up fast. So two different things that come along with that. We need volunteers, so if you notice there are signups just outside of the doors, that was strategic. Yeah, we planned that way. Last I heard, we needed about 20. Hopefully they're starting to fill up fast, but please find a spot. It's an awesome way for us to serve our community and to give back to those who are around us on a regular basis. Also, bring friends. Like, if you live in this community or you live outside of this community, bring friends. It's a wonderful event. Dan and his volunteers do a phenomenal job in preparation, making sure that everyone feels welcome. They have a lot of different things. The Show and Shine is also a highlight. I'm hoping to take home the motorcycle prize this year because Dave's won it I don't know how many years in a row, and I'm sick of it. So I might just rent a bike to beat him. Just kidding. for those who are interested, if you are a motorcycle rider like I am and you enjoy riding your motorcycle, we're actually going to be doing a ride on the 9th, or on the 12th, sorry. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be meeting at the Husky at 8:30, and kickstands will be up at 8:45. So if you need to gas up, but that's the Husky just on 91st and Ellerslie. And we would love to have a giant group of us. We're heading out to Pigeon Lake. We're going to take the back roads in the beautiful, beautiful prairie, and we're going to have some coffee at Pigeon Lake and just have a real time of community, because bikers are all about community. So it's wonderful. So thank you.
We're going to continue to worship now. Would you stand with us?
Jesus' blood and righteousness.
Today's scripture is found in Matthew 10, verses 16 to 33. Look, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves. But beware, for you will be handed over to the courts and will be flogged with whips in the synagogues. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and other unbelievers about me. When you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. For it is not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. A brother will betray his brother to death. A father will betray his own child. And children will rebel against their parents and cause them to be killed. And all nations will hate you because you are my followers. But everyone who endures to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one town, flee to the next. I tell you the truth, the Son of Man will return before you have reached all the towns of Israel. Students are not greater than their teacher, and slaves are not greater than their master. Students are to be like their teacher, and slaves are to be like their master. And since I, the master of the household, have been called the prince of demons, the members of my household will be called by even worse names. But don't be afraid
of those who threaten you. For the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. What I tell you now in the darkness, shout abroad when daybreak comes. What I whisper in your ear, shout from the housetops for all to hear. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. What is the price of two sparrows, one copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Slave to fear. I am. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, our hearts cannot begin to express our deep gratitude for this truth that we can be called your children. We run out of words to express to you how much we love you and appreciate you as our Heavenly Father. It's our privilege and our honor to be a part of your household. And we thank you for your Spirit that works in us and on us and through us and frees us from the slavery to fear. And so, Father, we pray that we would truly live bravely as your children in this world. That we would honor you by how we live. And so we turn our hearts to your word right now, and we pray that your Spirit would speak to us and equip us so that as your children, we can bring honor to your name and glory to the household of faith. Thank you that you are here. We pray that you would meet with each one, that you would give each of us exactly what we need so that we would live well for you. Speak to us now by your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning, everyone. At this time, we're going to dismiss the children age 3 to grade 2 to go out for their time of worship and teaching. For the rest of you, we'd invite you to take your worship folder to hand. Inside of there is an insert with the title of the mission. You can follow along and take some notes that you can review later on this week. We've arrived at Matthew chapter 10 in our journey through the Gospel of Matthew. And I kind of feel like last week, Egbert got the first half of the chapter. He kind of got the good news portion of the pregame speech. And I'm kind of left with the bad news side of things. And we'll unpack that in a few minutes. But I just want to set up for us the depth of what Jesus is getting at here. I want to begin this morning with a couple of questions that I'd like you to spend some time thinking about a bit more this week. The first question is this: what is it that motivates your life? And what is it that motivates our church? What is it that drives your life? What is it that drives our church family? To drive something means to guide it, to direct it, to aim it where you want it to go. When you drive a car, where does it go? Down the street where you want it to go. When you drive a nail, where does it go? Into the wood where you want it to go. Students, when you drive your parents crazy, where do they go? First at my office, and then straight to Pinocchio. I've got two teenagers in the house. Pinocchio's on speed dial. When you drive cattle, where do they go? Into the corral or out into the open field where you want them to go. When you drive a golf ball, where does it go? Anywhere it wants to go. Some days only the Lord knows where my golf ball's going. What drives your life? It's worth taking some time to think about. It could be success. It could be money. Could be ambition. Maybe it's fear, security, ego, accomplishment. Maybe it's pleasure or recreation. Maybe something else is driving your life. What drives a church? It's also worthwhile thinking about. It could be tradition. It could be maintaining a certain ethnic culture. It could be making budgets. Maybe it's spiritual consumerism, a particular ministry or social endeavor. It could be something else. What I'd like for us to do this morning is take a few moments to talk about that something else. We've arrived at a pivotal moment in the ministry of Jesus here in Matthew chapter 10, the passage of scripture that Tabea read for us earlier. Jesus' life was driven by love, and that meant that he was a man on a mission. He traveled all over Judea and Galilee, and he would see people, and he would be with them. And Jesus saw a lot of misery. He saw a lot of pain and suffering. Jesus saw lepers whom nobody would touch, let alone come close to. And Jesus would look for them, spend time with them, and he would touch them. Jesus saw a paralyzed man who was so desperate to get to Jesus that he convinced his friends to cut a hole in the roof of a stranger's house because the house was so packed out, it was the only way to get access to Jesus. Jesus saw this man and he healed him. Jesus saw a blind man who had been reduced to begging on the side of the road, and Jesus healed him. Jesus saw people who didn't have enough money for medicine or doctors, people who were in dire straits with health issues. Jesus saw exasperated parents whose children were sick and dying. Jesus saw those who were anxious, alone, depressed, filled with fear. But in Matthew chapter 9, Matthew tells us something wonderful about Jesus. He says that Jesus saw the crowds and he had compassion on them. Not prejudice, not judgment, not disdain or disgust, not condescension or superiority. Jesus saw the people for who they were, what they were struggling with, and he had compassion. He saw them. There's an orphan who's fighting to survive on the streets. There's a woman whose husband has abused her and divorced her, and she's been forced into a life of prostitution to survive. There's a widow no one is caring for. No one even notices her. She has no family. She has no resources. She's entirely vulnerable. There's a Roman soldier whom everyone hates and everyone wants dead. There's a Pharisee who's so tied up in the knots of legalism, all confused about who God is, what love means, and what God requires. There's a rich young ruler, a successful young businessman, someone who had position and power and influence that everyone envied, but nobody knew what was going on in his heart and how enslaved he was to his things. Jesus saw all of these people, and he had compassion on them because of their condition. Jesus even commented to his disciples, saying that these people were harassed. They were helpless in the face of the power of sin around them and within them. They were like sheep, Jesus said, without a shepherd. And so he took action. He did something about it. He healed them. He blessed them. He talked to them about a new kind of life, a new way of living, about entering into an eternal quality of life with him. He preached the good news of the kingdom of God. And the good news was and is that through Jesus, life with God is now possible for people who never thought that they would qualify. By grace, our sins have been forgiven. Our guilt can be removed. The strongholds and idols in our life can be overthrown. And this is true for you. You can experience this kind of life. You can experience this eternal quality of life, this with God life. You have a Heavenly Father who cares for you. You have a family to belong to. You have God's Spirit to guide you. You have a mission to inspire you. You have a message welling up within you to share. You have an eternity to look forward to. You have a hope to cling to. Now, if I was in some church in the south of the United States, somebody would have said amen. So we're going to do that over again because this is true of you. Come on now. This is Church of God. Let me start over. Take two. You have a Heavenly Father who cares for you. You have a family to belong to. You have God's Spirit within you. You have a mission to inspire you, and that can change the world. Hold on. You have a message to share welling up from within you. Come on now. You have an eternity to look forward to. Yeah. You have a hope to cling to. Right on. Come on. This is stuff we should be getting excited about. Right? Come on. The Jays are doing well. We're all into that. We've drafted number 97. We're all good. What are we getting excited about? And Jesus would talk about this everywhere he went. He went to cities. He went to towns. He went to villages. There was no place too small or too insignificant for Jesus to go. And he would share this good news. And as he did, the people would gather and hang on every word because his words were life. And his message gave life and hope to a burdened and broken, harassed and helpless people. The scale of human need was so overwhelming to Jesus. It broke his heart. And so finally one day, he turned to his disciples. And it's like he said to them, guys, I can't stand it. I can't stand it. People are imprisoned in their lives without God. And I just can't take it anymore. They're confused. They're broken. They're fearful. They're angry. They're isolated. They're burdened. they're hurting, and their needs are breaking my heart. Guys, do you see it? Do you feel it? Do you sense it? And he says to them, we can't be satisfied with our little community, our cozy friendships. We're not here for us. We're here for them. That's why we're here. And so Jesus calls his 12 disciples to him, and he gives them authority to do what he did and sends them out on mission. And that's what discipleship is all about. Pastor Eckbert talked about it last week. Like the first disciples, we spend time with Jesus to learn from Jesus, to become like Jesus, to do what Jesus did. We listen to Jesus' words to learn to walk in his way in order to do his works. We spend time with him so that we can come to know him, so that we can grow in him, so that we can go for him. This is what it means to be a disciple. We own the mission that he has given us. And this is so crucial. Jesus had a mission, and he invited his 12 disciples to join him in his mission by sending them out to do what they had seen him doing. Jesus did not start a church and then give it a mission. He started a mission and then gave it a church. And sometimes today we have gotten that just a little bit backwards. And here's what's happened over time. David Platt writes about a ship that was built over 60 years ago in the years immediately following World War II. And it was to be the greatest troop carrier in U.S. naval history. It was called the SS United States. It was designed to carry 15,000 troops faster and further without having to stop or refuel for supplies than any other ship in military history. The only thing was, is that it never was used to carry troops. It was such a remarkable ship that it got turned into a luxury liner for celebrities and heads of state. There'll be a few pictures coming on it you can take a look at. It contained 600 staterooms, 4 dining salons, 3 bars, 2 theaters, and the comfort of being the world's first fully air-conditioned passenger ship for wealthy patrons who wanted first-class service. It was designed to be a troop carrier. It was designed for a mission, but it got turned into a luxury liner for consumers. It's a really bad thing when that happens to the church. Really bad. And again, if I was in a church somewhere in the southern United States, somebody would have said, amen. We'll get you there. We'll get you there. We have a mission. The church is a troop carrier and a troop deployer. We are not here for ourselves. For a quaint and comfortable little cruise around the Caribbean corners of life. So, I was thinking this week, what if Jesus stopped by Edmonton physically today? What if he were to walk through our city and its adjoining towns and hamlets today, and we were to spend the day with him, traveling with him, seeing what he sees, feeling what he feels? Do you think Jesus would look at Edmonton and then say to us, mission accomplished? I don't think so. I think he would see more brokenness and spiritual confusion than ever before. He'd see more marriages breaking up, more families falling apart, more relationships unraveling, the gap between rich and poor growing ever more wide. He'd see more substance abuse and addictions than ever before. He'd see more babies being born out of wedlock, more people living lives of quiet, lonely desperation, more young people with body image issues and eating disorders pained over by what our society has defined as beautiful, more men imprisoned by online pornography. He'd see fear-filled parents living in relationally disconnected neighborhoods. He'd see anxious university students, increasing numbers of workaholic parents, and droves of lonely retirees. And he'd see so much fear. Fear of failing. Fear of aging. Fear of want. Fear of dying. And then he'd see the church. He'd see this community of people who know God, or say they do, who know the grace of being forgiven and being loved. A community that has been given the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide them. The gift of wisdom contained in the scriptures. The gift of doing life together with one another. He'd see the church. And I wonder what he would say. Because the reality is there's really nothing in the world like the church when the church is being the church. And I think he would come to us as a church and he would ask us, do you see what I see? Do you care about what I care about? Does your heart break over the things that break my heart? Do you realize that you all aren't here for yourselves? So I was thinking, what if everyone who calls themselves a follower of Jesus, who's part of the Grace Point community, were surrendered and devoted to God and gave themselves to pursuing that with God life that Jesus makes possible? And each and every one of us owned the mission that Jesus has given us. What might happen? What could change? See, here's the thing. The most important thing happening in the world today is not the economic shaking that's happening over in China. It's not about the continued political unrest in the Middle East. The most important thing happening in our world today is not the five-week campaign that has transpired here in Canada for a new government or a renewed government. The most important thing happening in the world today revolves around what God is doing in your world and mine. God is at work in this world, and He invites us to join Him in His work. Thank you. This is how it ought to be. Talk to me, right? As His children, we are blessed to be in relationship with Him, but we have responsibilities to attend to. We are a part of the family, and each one of us has a role to play in the family business. And the business that we've been given is to be on the mission that Jesus Christ was on. He has given us some stuff to do. Our English word for mission comes from the Latin word for being sent. Just like Jesus sent out the 12 here in Matthew 10, we are also sent into the world as representatives of Jesus. The mission that Jesus had while He was here on earth is now our mission because we are His body. What He did in His physical body, we're to continue to do in the spiritual body, the church. And that mission is to introduce people to the possibility of the with God life made possible by Jesus. God wants to redeem us, and He wants to reconcile us to Himself. He wants us to love Him and to be a part of His family. He wants us to serve Him by serving and telling others about the hope we have in Him. You guys are getting good. I like this. Let's do this every Sunday. So make a note of the following with me. And I want you to think about this week. Okay? Here's our mission. And this is just a reminder before we get into the text, and I promise I won't keep it too long. Our mission, first of all, is a continuation of Jesus' mission. We're continuing what He started. Jesus calls us not only to come to Him, but to go for Him. Right? In the Great Commission, after His resurrection and before His ascension, Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always." I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I want you to see Jesus looking straight at you, giving you personally this commission. This is not just for ministers and missionaries. If you are a Christ follower, this is what Jesus is asking you to do. Go and make disciples. This is your mission. You are to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. This is not something that's optional for us as Christ followers. These words of Jesus here are not the great suggestion. Yeah, this is the great commission. If you're part of God's family, you are a part of the business. And this is what we need to be about. And I want you to notice that there's no mention of church here. And yet, we spend so much time doing church stuff. We have to ask ourselves, are we actually making disciples who make disciples who make disciples? If you make disciples, you'll always get the church. But working on the church won't necessarily get you disciples. Remember, Jesus did not start a church and then give it a mission. He had a mission and then collected a community of people around it. Make a note of this also. Our mission is a privilege. Although it's a big responsibility and it seems like a daunting task, it's an honor to be used by God. Look what Paul writes to the Corinthian church. He says he's given us the privilege of urging everyone to come into His favor and be reconciled to Him. We get to be a part of what God is doing in this world as we represent Him and represent Him. We partner with Him in His work, in extending His kingdom, His reign, His rule in this world. Right? Jesus secured our salvation. He adopted us into His family. He gave us His Spirit. And now He invites us to be His hands and His feet in this world. This is a huge responsibility, but it's a huge privilege. We get to be a part of the most important thing that is going on in the world today. That's pretty cool and probably deserves an amen. Our mission, thirdly, is life-changing. We're inviting others to experience the with God life. And I think that's one of the greatest things that we can do for them. Suppose a family member or a very good friend somehow got a very debilitating disease and you knew the cure. It would be criminal for you to withhold information that would save them. Worse yet would be to keep secret the path to God's forgiveness, the path to peace of mind and rest of spirit, life of another kind. We have the greatest news in the world, and sharing the hope we have with others is likely the greatest kindness that we can show them. Jesus is the only one who can save people. No one else in the world is able to save us. Our mission is also impacting eternity. I was thinking of showing the clip from one of my favorite movies, The Gladiator. Any of you guys like that movie? Right? I shouldn't probably admit that. Marcus Aurelius, taking the last stronghold in Germania, has a pre-fight speech with his cavalry. And he basically says to them, "Gentlemen, what you do here on earth, it echoes in eternity. What we do here on earth impacts eternity. The eternal destiny of other people is at stake. Your Christ-given mission, and I won't apologize for saying this, but your Christ-given mission is more important than your career, than any achievement or goal you will reach during your lifetime. Because the consequences of you fulfilling your mission ring in eternity. Nothing else you do will ever matter as much as helping people establish a relationship with God." And that's also why there's an urgency to our mission. Jesus says we must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us. The night is coming and then no one can work. Friends, the clock is ticking. We need to live our lives intentionally in those circles of relationships that God has granted us. Whether you're a student, a stay-at-home mom, a manager, a teacher, a business owner, a salesperson, whatever you do, look for the people that God is bringing into your life with whom you can share the hope and love that you've experienced in Him. And finally, your mission is meaningful to life. William James said, "The best use of life is to spend it for something that outlasts it." God's kingdom is going to last. Because of who you are, where you live, where you work, there are certain people only you will be able to reach. Wouldn't it be amazing if you could eternally impact the lives of other people? That you would arrive in the corridors of heaven and that there would be people lined up to say, "Thank you. Thank you because of what you did in my life. I am here. I am eternally grateful for what you said, for what you did." Now that's all the good news. Our text for today is very plain in terms of living the mission that Jesus has for us as His followers. And on the cusp of sending them out, He gives them a very clear word in terms of what they can expect as they head out for Him. And these words are words for His disciples there in that moment, but they're also words that ring true for us today. And what Jesus says, and you can make a note of this, is that our mission will be costly. The mission that we are on will be costly. To fulfill the mission will require us to abandon our agenda and adopt God's agenda for life. The mission is too important to become a simple add-on to all the other things that we're doing in our life. Like Jesus said, "Father, I want your will, not mine." Or like Jesus taught us to pray, "Heavenly Father, let us hallow your name, and may your kingdom come, and may your will be done here on earth through us as it is in heaven." We need to stop our self-centered prayers of, "God, please bless what I'm doing," and instead begin to pray, "God, please give me the strength to do what you are blessing." Jesus says the mission will be costly and that we will face adversity as we live as His representatives. Very quickly, note this. Who will we face adversity from? First of all, He talks about the authorities. He talks about how they will be handed over to the authorities in the synagogues and then to secular governors and kings because they're followers of Christ. Jesus knew the disciples would face opposition because they were representing Him. And so He says to them, "Listen, don't expect people to applaud you. You're going to get serious pushback from your tribe and from the secular world. You will stand on trial. But know this, when you do, I will be present with you and provide you an opportunity to communicate hope and life. Adversity, Jesus also says, is going to come from family. And we don't like reading this, but this is the truth. In verse 21, it says, a brother will betray his brother to death. A father will betray his own child. Children will rebel against their parents and cause them to be killed. I mean, this is almost unbelievable. This is heartbreaking. Fathers and children so opposed to the Christian faith that they would rather want each other dead instead of believing. But this is part of the cost of following. And by the way, this is a very sad reality in our day, particularly in the Middle East amongst believers from Muslim backgrounds. Their families would rather want them dead than to find faith in Christ. Adversity, Jesus says, is also going to come from society, and that believers will be hated by all. He says, all nations will hate you because you are my followers. Those who express their allegiance to Jesus will be reviled, will be despised, they'll be hated. And Jesus even goes on to say that the adversity will come in certain forms. He says, the cost of following me is that you'll be persecuted and you'll be driven out of town. And when you are, Jesus says, flee from one town to the next. Take that message of hope with you. Don't lean into the persecution at this point, but flee from it and spread the message of hope. He also says that believers are going to be maligned. He says that if I, the master of the household, have been called the prince of demons, the members of my household will be called even worse names. Some of the Jewish leaders had accused Jesus of being Satan's cohort in that he drove out demons. They said only the house of Beelzebub, of Satan, can drive out demons from Satan. And they started calling him all sorts of names, said all sorts of horrible things about them. And Jesus says, if they're saying this about me, what can you expect they'll say about you? Jesus died in our place that we might escape the wrath of God, not the wrath of man. Jesus suffered so that we could be redeemed. We are called to suffer so that others hear the news of redemption. And finally, Jesus says, for some of you, it's going to get so bad, you're going to pay with your life. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Sometimes they do touch the body. Jesus said plainly in Luke 21, some of you are going to be put to death. And for 2,000 years, countless missionaries have given their lives in that they shared the hope of Jesus Christ with the world. And the reason they did this, and they could do this, is because the blessings of living the mission so far outweigh the costs. And the thing that I want you to take with you, and we're going to wrap up in a few minutes here, the thing that I want you to take with you is what Jesus tells his disciples to do in the face of adversity. He says to them, tough times will come. As ones who represent me in this world, you will have trouble. You will face adversity, but I want you to be fearless. I want you to be fearless. I'm no longer a slave to fear. We just might need to sing that again. I want you to be fearless, Jesus says. And my prayer as we wrap up in a couple minutes here is that God's Spirit would use what I'm about to say to you to awaken or confirm his calling on your life, that you would live fearlessly for him as you represent him in this world. May God Spirit take the reasons for fearlessness that Jesus mentions in this morning's text to help you overcome the fears that you might be feeling and give you a passion to live more devotedly for him as you take that message of hope into our society. And I'll go through this quickly, but 10 reasons that Jesus gives in this text of why we can live fearlessly. Firstly, he says we can be fearless because we are sent by him. He says, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. I know you are vulnerable. So I want you to be as shrewd as snakes, be as harmless as doves. Right? There's a certain satisfaction that we know that we're a part of his work in this world. We are sent with his authority, but we're also sent with his protection. Know that you are sent and live fearlessly. Number two, we can be fearless because we will be given words by the Spirit of God. He will equip us. Verse 19 says, when you're arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. And there is something special about knowing that you're a vessel of God's Spirit in communicating truth and life. God's Spirit will enable you, Jesus says, to deliver a message with courage and conviction in the face of fear welling up before you. And in those moments, as you yield to God's direction, God's Spirit will use you and speak through you. Live fearlessly. Live fearlessly in that you know that you're under your Father's care. Right? He says, for it's not you who will be speaking, it will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Jesus makes it crystal clear that the one caring for them is their heavenly Father. You have a Father who cares more about you than you can ever even begin to fathom. And while you may have to forsake mother and father for mission, you have a Heavenly Father whose eye is upon you moment by moment. Your Father cares for you. You can live fearlessly because you live in the knowledge that at the end of it all, you will be saved. Verse 22 says, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. We live in a society where people just want to get out. And Paul says, press on. Jesus says, press on. You stand your ground and you will endure to the end. It won't be easy, but you will be empowered, assisted by God's Spirit. Listen, friends, when the costs have been paid, when the dust has all settled, in the end, there will be a great salvation. We will be raised from the dead with no sorrow or pain or sin, and we will see Christ and enter his glory and hear his words in spite of all our perfections. Well done, my good and faithful servant. We can live fearlessly knowing that the Son of Man is coming in judgment and that he will set things right. Right? He will set things right. This was a great encouragement, verse 23b there, for the persecuted disciples. Jesus comes at just the right time in historical judgments and deliverances, and he will come on the last day and he will vindicate his people. We also don't need to fear because we are members of the household of faith. Whatever rejection we may experience, Jesus wants us to be sure that that rejection is a sign that we are his, that we're a part of his family. And we can live courageously knowing that the truth will ultimately triumph. Verse 26 says, but don't be afraid of those who threaten you. Don't be afraid. For the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed and all that is secret will be made known. For a season, this world might mock you for aligning yourself with Jesus. They may argue, what is truth? Why are you so narrow? Why do you say Jesus is the only way? But know this and hold fast to this truth. Truth will be known someday. When you share the good news, you will be vindicated. What is scoffed at now is going to be written across the sky someday. And Jesus also says you can live courageously because you have an immortal soul. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Live fearlessly. We have already passed from death to life. We are immortal. We also don't need to fear because we have a Heavenly Father who sovereignly rules the smallest details of life. What is the price of two sparrows, Jesus says? One copper coin, that was like nothing. It was like a penny. But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father in heaven knowing it. God oversees the details of your life. He cares. He's concerned. So you may know that you are precious. Precious in the sight of your Heavenly Father. And finally, you can live fearlessly because you are valued by God. Once again, Jesus says, do not be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. God values his children. He values them because in union with Jesus Christ, his perfection is put upon them. And he values and loves them because by his Spirit, he's transforming his children into his image. And God loves to see the sanctifying work of his own hands. He delights in who you are becoming. So how does Jesus call people to give themselves to the mission he has given us? He does it by giving us his perspective on the value of other people. Do you see other people with Jesus' eyes? Do you have compassion on them the way he does? He does it by helping us count the cost, so there's no romantic naivete about living as his hands and his feet in this world. In this world, you will have trouble. You will face adversity. And he does it by filling us with a confidence in him that we can live fearlessly for him. Many of you have been doing this for a good chunk of time. Some of you are new to the game. You're new to the family business. And this message is real to you. And I hope it's been an encouragement to you. For others of you, this has awakened a new sense of calling in your life. And you really believe that God is stirring you to go. May God confirm his work in your life. God is at work around you. It's the most important thing going on in the world today. Join him in his work. Live that mission that Jesus started. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his representatives. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that we can be called your children, that we are a part of your family. For all the blessings of relationship, we give you thanks. But we also want to say thank you for the responsibility that you have given us as your kids, and that is to carry on the mission of Jesus Christ in this world. I pray that we would take very seriously what it is that you want us to be about, that you would see, that you would help us see that the places that we go to every day, our homes, our neighborhoods, our places of work, our places of recreation, those places where we move and live and have our being, Father, that you are already there and you're working in those places, and that our role is to team up with you in that work, and that there's nothing more important happening in this world than you extending your kingdom today. Father, may you find us as Grace Point Church family to be faithful in that, to see others the way you see them, to have a heart of compassion for them, and to live faithfully for you, living this message of hope and life. Father, strengthen us by your Spirit to that end. We dedicate ourselves to you, and we tell you we are so very blessed. And as we now worship you by giving a portion of our income back to you, we just want to say we acknowledge today that it's all yours, that we are simply stewards of what you've blessed us with. We ask for forgiveness for those areas in our life where we've been selfish, where we've been clinging to things that are actually yours. And we pray that your Spirit would invade us and just allow us to live with a sense of generosity towards you, honoring you by giving back to you what is truly yours. We owe you our life, and so we give back with joyful hearts. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you as you give. The ushers will come forward.
Troubled sea, oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence you won't let go, in the questions your truth will hold, your great love will lead us through. You are the peace in my troubled sea, oh, you are the peace in my trophy.
You again.
good. I kind of feel like we shouldn't stop just yet. Do you guys want to do one more? Can we do one more? Can we do one more? Oh, well, she doesn't think you know it, so let's do it again. Gets really inspired when you hear stuff like that. That's just fantastic. Thank you guys so much for doing that. I want to remind those of you who are parents to pick up your children from the children's ministry in a couple of minutes around 12 o'clock. The rest of you are invited out into the lobby for a time of fellowship over coffee. If you want to stay back and pray with one of the prayer team members, they're going to be at the right side of the stage here, so feel free to stay back. We're going to ask the rest of you to leave the auditorium quietly so that those who want to stay back and pray can do so. It's going to be a great fall. We look forward to what God is going to be doing amongst us here, but I look mostly forward to what God is going to be doing in the world in which you live, the circles of relationship in which you travel. He's already there. He's working. We team up with him in what he's doing. That's the most exciting thing that we can be a part of. So I look forward to traveling with you this fall. Let me leave you with this blessing. May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness and protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. God bless you as you go and live as his representatives this week. Have a great week.